hearts. Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We've always been taught never yell fire in a crowded room. But what if it's Jesus who is yelling? Today we have a lectionary gospel for which many are quick to say thanks, but no thanks. And they move on to the Old Testament lesson instead. But let's be bold today. Let's dig into this moment when Jesus yells fire in a room full of people, so to speak. Verse 49, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. What if you're drinking beer at our Hops and Hymns event at Lion Creek Brewery tonight, and a person next to you says this, hey, this is really fun being together, singing together, but this Jesus guy you worship, I heard his goal is to bring fire to the earth. Is that right? They ask. What do you say? You might say, you know, it's really loud in here. I can't quite make out what you're asking me. Or you might say, hey, good question. It's true. Unfortunately, some folks have abused texts like this to create a blowtorch version of God, a God who almost takes delight in finding people doing wrong and blasting them with fires of retribution. We do not believe in a God like that. When it comes to fire, many of us would compare God to a campfire around which we're brought wonderful light and warmth. But with this tough lesson today, it's probably more accurate to talk about a forest fire. Even though it can be scary at times, a forest fire is key to a healthy system. It burns up the clutter of what is old and no longer well-rooted, creating space and nutrients for new growth and a healthier ecosystem. I remember Luann and I visiting Yellowstone in the early 90s, two years after a great fire, and just being mesmerized by the green hues of new growth in the park. Whether a burning bush for Moses or the fiery tongues of Pentecost, God's fire always represents dynamic opportunities for new life. But as Jesus indicates today, they can always or also create tension and division and stress in communities, even in families. And today, I'd like to give you an illustration. As Pastor Miriam shared last week, one of the young people shot in the Dayton tragedy last week was a confirmation kid of mine when I served Epiphany for 14 years. Now, Chase is a neat 24-year-old man with a great job in Alabama who was only up in Dayton because he was taking care of his grandparents because his own mom and dad were out of the country on vacation. But I remember Chase running around church with my son. Chase's dad, Jim, would go on ski trips with our young adult group when I was a young adult. Chase's mom, Linda, was my daughter Morgan's preschool teacher 1 year. Along with my kids, Chase was involved in Christmas and summer musicals. I've been talking this week with Chase's dad, and the good news is that Chase survived the shooting. The good news is that his first surgery to repair damage to his bladder seems to have gone pretty well. However, Chase still has no feeling in his right foot. Chase still has some nerve issues. He's got a cracked hip, so movement has been very, very difficult and will be so for a while. Now, here's the deal. When Chase was baptized at Epiphany Lutheran, after his parents and sponsors made promises about Chase, the whole congregation was asked, people of God, do you promise to support Chase in his new life in Christ? And everyone there responded, we do. Now, technically, I didn't arrive at Epiphany until a few months after Chase's baptism, so I literally did not utter that promise of support, but that congregation spoke on behalf of the congregation of Christians, right? In terms of how we want to support all of God's kids. So in that bond of Christian support, Chase went on to Sunday school because there were adults who had made that promise, said, yeah, hey, I'm going to support, I'm going to teach Sunday school. And he sang songs in kids' choir because their parents had said, yeah, I'm going to be part of that because I promised to support him. And he went on mission trips and he took on characters in the musicals. He got in trouble every once in a while because he was running too fast down the hallways with guys like Luke Wiese or goofing off in the bathrooms. And on his confirmation day, Chase made promises about owning and living his faith. And once again, the congregation was asked, people of God, do you promise to support these sisters and brothers in their life in Christ? And everybody responded, we do. And we ask God to help and guide us. And that day, I had my two hands on Chase's head, as I have been able to lay hands on some of your children as we ask for God's richest blessing upon them. So what I want to do today is follow through on my promises. Since I promised to support Chase in his baptismal walk, and all the baptized kids in Peachtree City, Georgia, Ohio, Haiti, all around the world, because we're all in this together, I want to talk about why Chase has been in the hospital for the last 2 weeks, and probably another 2 weeks, and will probably have physical and emotional trauma for the rest of his life. I found it amazing that the Holy Spirit arranged for this gospel text for us today. Jesus says this, when you're following me and pursuing God's kingdom, there will be moments when even families can't agree on the appropriate approach to an important issue. Three will take one position, two will take the other. Is that true for you? How have your Thanksgiving dinners gone? Has there ever been a time? No, you've never had a Thanksgiving where not everybody agreed on how to run the family, how to run this country, right? I know your family rooms and this room contain people who disagree on the preferred approach on certain issues. But we all want to support our kids. We all want a country where our kids can live in less fear and danger of being hurt, especially with guns. I am asking everyone in this room today who has promised to support our kids to do at least one thing that you think, not anything you're being told, you decide for yourself. What's one thing that will improve the situation in our country? And as I do so, I mean, let me, this prayer of the day that we just prayed again, I didn't write this. This is just a sign. It's happened to come up today. Part of it is, give us courage to take our stand with all victims of bloodshed. What I'm about to say, it's okay if you disagree with me. Jesus told us we're going to have two on one side, three on another. But can we all be together on this? I had two people walk out of this sermon at the early service. So again, I want to learn from you. But can we talk about the state of our country right now? Some of you might say, hey, you want me to do one thing? I'm going to be excited about mental health. Great point. Great area. Let's provide good mental health care. Over the course of my ministry, I've talked to all sorts of brave people seeking help. Some are stressed out because of their marriage or finances or health challenges. Some want to just talk to the pastors for a while. Great. Some come in, they're looking for recommendations on counselors. Terrific. One problem is that while many people want it, not all can afford it. It's not always covered by insurance. In some cases, we use our church discretionary fund here to send people to counseling opportunities, and that's great, but that only goes so far. We've got to make sure it's financially feasible for folks to access mental health resources. Last week, I was talking to Chris Rieke, a Christ Our Shepherd guy who also serves as an assistant principal at a local elementary school. And it was sad to hear from him, from his perspective, how a lot of kids come to school so anxious. But it was inspiring for me to hear Chris's description, how intentional all the teachers and staff and volunteer parents are to just love on these kids to make sure they feel as valued and safe as possible. Have you ever driven out of your cul-de-sac or wherever your neighborhood and you see high schoolers standing monolithically in the morning? It looks like they're not even talking to each other. I've decided I'm just going to be that goofy dad who's taking his morning jog and actually says, "Good morning," and give him a little wave. I don't know. I hope it makes a wee difference that they feel the world is a friendly place. Or as cars pass down the street in the neighborhood as I'm walking my dog at night, I'm committed to giving just a little wave to everybody. Maybe the world leans just a tad more toward connection. So, mental health, great. One important piece of the puzzle. Others of you, you are going to want to do something about gun accessibility. And again, you might not agree with all the data you're going to show. I've tried to do my very best to get accurate stuff, but if you have more accurate, you know, I'm happy to hear that. But here's what some of you are bringing to the table. You are concerned, I've heard you say, that we now have more guns than people in our country. We are about 4% of the world's population, but we own over 40% of the world's guns. Our gun murder rate is far higher than other first world countries. Relatedly, American children are 11 times more likely to be killed by a gun compared to other developed countries. In Germany, gun homicides are about as common as deaths from falling objects here in this country. This chart with America depicted on the far left shows the sadness that we not only have more homicides than any other developed country, that's in blue on the bottom, but also more suicides with guns as well, depicted in red. Every day, 46 Americans commit suicide with guns. Since guns are effective weapons in the hands of the despondent, and we have more guns, we see in this chart that both gun suicide and homicide are on the rise in the last 3 years. Now, I am committed to our children, but also my friends who help serve and protect us. Two of my cousins in Michigan serve on sheriff departments, in addition to the good people in this congregation. More guns on the street mean more police will be hurt, as documented in studies like this. So many of you, as an issue of justice and your Christian faith, you want to work for legislation that improves the situation. This chart is too chaotic, I know, but it basically indicates how, and maybe you can send me data that corrects this if this is wrong. But the 10 states with more strict gun control experience significantly less gun violence than the 10 states with the least amount of gun control. And states that have had universal background checks in place for at least 5 years have a 35% reduced risk of children and youth being hurt due to guns. How you doing, gang? Let's remember again, Jesus told us, 2,000 years ago, that even mothers and fathers fathers, brothers and sisters would be divided on key issues important in the world. And so it's so important for us to listen to each other. And I really do want to hear your opinions. My door is always open. I want to learn from you. And I know we have some people in this room who will say, boy, don't even have this conversation unless you talk about the Second Amendment, because it guarantees the right to own guns. And I think it's important to honor those voices that come to the table and those hopes. So for all of my blood family members and my faith family members who like to hunt, let's ensure reasonable hunting weapons. For those of you who like to collect, let's ensure those safe ways. I know we have many in our congregation like to go to a shooting range and have fun with that. And so for those of you who feel safer by owning a gun at home, let's ensure a safe and reasonable way for that. Let's do that, even though three in the family Jesus describes will maybe want to make this plea with the other two. Some in the family will say, absolutely, Constitution. But let's remember that it did not allow any of our moms or sisters or wives to vote. And since our call is to always strive for a more perfect union, we work together. We put on our thinking caps. We modify the situation to improve justice for all. And according to the Constitution, when we began, slaves were not even considered full human beings. And so we modified the situation over the years to improve justice for all. I know we are patriotic. I know we are smart enough to come up with a way we can ensure liberty and also increase justice and safety for all. That is what some of our family members will really speak at the table. On Friday morning, it was a treat for me to actually talk to Chase on the phone for a while. Great to hear his positive spirit, but he's not excited about the next several weeks he has in the hospital. You could tell he's a little worried about not having feeling in his foot yet, although he made a joke about the kind of cane he was going to get if he needed to, and I can't share from the pulpit the words he used to describe that. I did not pry into the family's health insurance coverage and what this might cost Chase financially the rest of his life, let alone emotionally. But I do know that for my kids or anyone else in my house to use a car, I am required to own liability insurance. No driver plans for accidents to happen, but they do. Who pays the bills for all the long-term consequences of our gun violence? Those who bought the guns or all of us? If that broken young man who killed 9 people and wounded many more acquired a gun legally that allowed him to shoot about 1 round per second, shouldn't he also be required to buy liability insurance on it, just like I have to for my car? Well, friends, hey, thank you for hanging in there today. I am grateful the Holy Spirit asked us to wrestle with today's text about Jesus's fire. The amount of gun fire we have in our nation is a problem, wouldn't you agree? But as Jesus followers who have promised to look out for our kids, may we be fired up to each just do one thing, not anything anyone forces you or asks you to do. You decide the one thing that will improve the situation in our country. Remember, Jesus warned us, we might not all agree on what that one thing is, 3 on one side of a loving family, 2 on the other, but when we all take action in hope, in trust, Jesus' fire can burn away the old and create space for the germination of a phoenix-like new reality of greater safety, greater justice for all, a more perfect union. Friends, in closing, let me acknowledge, I didn't even get to this dynamite first lesson from Hebrews today. But it's a classic. It's fuel in our tank. Paul preaches about running the race. Not watching the race. Not tweeting about the race. But running the race yourself and taking action. But running involves getting sweaty a little bit. Your head, your body can ache. You can feel like giving up at times. And that's what it feels like with a lot of these issues, right? We hear about it on the news for a while. We just get tired. And so we don't do anything. We stop. But together, Jesus calls us to keep moving, to battle through all the impediments that would keep us from crossing the finish line. Moving together, moving for kids like Chase and the kids in this room who were baptized and confirmed on our watch. Will we do something? Jesus told us 2 weeks ago, your soul is required. And at their baptism and confirmations, we said, yes, we promise. With God's help, can we support them with just one thing you think will improve the situation? Let's do it in Jesus' fiery mercy. Amen.